We need a work night. We have some, not these lights, but in the adjacent rooms, we have some fluorescent lights that need to be replaced. We have to run a wire from the soundboard into the nursery for a speaker for when we were able to open up nursery. And Butch is helping with this, so if you can help, give Butch a call. We've got to change the emergency light battery in the light behind me and install a carbon monoxide detector in the kitchen. So keep that in mind if you're able to help. I need volunteers to distribute coat flyers when we're ready to do that. So if you're interested in that, see me. Ushers are needed weekly to start passing the plates. If you can do that, that would be great to help out. Nursery workers, we want to start back nursery every Sunday. So if you're interested in doing that, if you haven't been screened, you need to be screened. And that's a simple process that we can do here. And, of course, Sunday school started. Ask if you are able to come out to please join us for that. It's a study in Daniel. And there's a prayer box on the back table for our Tuesday morning prayer meeting. If you need have a prayer request, please do that. How many of you believe in prayer? Thank you. Thank you. We're going to talk more about prayer during the message today. So, Joey, did I forget anything? No? All right. There is a sign up for a whole bunch of stuff up on the board. So see that after service, and then hopefully we'll go. Listen, before you know it, Christmas will be here. And, you know, as we head into the holiday season, we really want to enter it in a good way. And I just ask you that if you're able to help, please help, okay?
Morning, everybody. Morning. All right. He never stops working for us, so we should never stop praying to him. He works miracles for us daily, from the rising of the sun to the plants and trees that sustain our bodies, to the miracle of love, which spreads from individuals and families. We would literally be nothing without him. And God heals. He makes us better. He is the hope where there is no hope. He is the hand. His hand is upon us, daily guiding us and showing us the way, letting us fail when necessary, always welcoming us back to the flock. He is the way, and we follow and praise him.
You are here.
reach out to our God and give him thanks. A prayer for every occasion is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my job. Thank you for everything. Even the things I take for granted, like spaghetti and Hershey's Kisses. It's such a simple thing to say thanks. Even when we are hurting or things are not going well, things can always be worse. So thank the Lord for everything and bless his name. Make sure I don't bury this set of music here. Here we go. A prayer traditionally means a wish, an entreaty, a supplication, asking, beseeching. When we need something or are hurting, we pray to God to ask for his blessings. It's right and proper to pray to God, for help to intercede in some fashion, just remember, like the pastor says, God is not Santa Claus. The prayer must conform to the nature of God and be according to his plan. Will he grant our requests? God knows. Just remember that with prayer, there is also praise. Praise and bless the Lord with every moment and every ounce of strength. Praise him, for he is good and he is worthy. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing his praise. Would you read with me, folks? That's right. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, go in. Nope, next. Hey, next one. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. We forgive that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. All right, so Jesus taught us the bare essentials of prayer. His prayer showed us what is necessary in life, what appeals to God's nature. There are formulas for the creation of prayer, as many of you well know. One as good as the next. There's the collect. I have them all right here if you want to take a look at them later. There's acts, pray, there's a five-finger formula, there's trip, and there's parts. These are all acronyms except for the five-finger formula. That actually uses your five fingers. Which is correct? All of them and none. God already knows what we pray for, what we will pray for, and he knows if we have a true heart. There are no secrets. A conversation with all due humility should also work. But we know what Jesus said and how he taught us to pray. Amen.
You know, that prayer was a model for us. It's not meant to be repeated without thinking about it. And there's a lot to be learned from that prayer. As we do go to prayer, Tommy, let me ask you, any update on Uncle Bill? Is he going for surgery this week? Yeah. Okay, we don't know when. Okay. So we need not Uncle Bill. So hopefully he will listen to, especially to the doctor. Well, we miss him. We do have a lot to pray for. I know BJ's still under the weather, and doctors are still trying to work with her. And there are some other people here and there that are battling with stuff. Thankfully, no one's battling with COVID, and we're grateful for that. And we really need to pray for going forward into the fall season, especially for the church. There's a lot that's going to be done. We have our coat giveaway coming up in December. Excuse me. And also in November, you know, of course, it's Thanksgiving. We'll have special services. And I would urge you to come on the last Wednesday of this month to Dr. Fuji's service up to Tom's River, where he talks about the Reformation and what it means for us. I'm a firm believer that everybody should have a church history course, because it gives you just a greater understanding of what the church went through, both good times and bad. So if you can make that, that'll be 7:30 that night. Let's pray. There's a lot of need for prayer. So join me in prayer, and I'll pray as God leads me, okay? Father, we are so grateful that you give us the freedom yet and the privilege and the honor to meet here together to worship you. We pray, Father, that our freedoms would be protected, and that you give us opportunity outside these four walls to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim it in love and boldly, to form relationships with other people, to earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus. Father, we need Jesus now more than ever. We always needed him, but Father, it just seems like the need is acute right now. Help your church not be silent. Help your church, Father, to go forth in love and yet power that you commissioned us with, to go forth and make disciples. It's far more than making converts, Father. It's making disciples. I also pray, Father, for those who might be ailing. We pray for BJ. She hasn't been able to come out for a while. We pray, Father, that the doctors would get a handle on what's going on with her. And we pray for Uncle Bill. We miss him. We pray, Father, that whatever the next step is, that you would order it, and, Father, you would bring recovery to him. We ask that, Father, he might be able to join us in the near future again. And Father, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in mighty ways. I pray that we would be open to what you would have us to learn and apply to our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go back and to the Lord's Prayer, the last couple of... Okay. All right, here's your quiz for today. All right? This is part of the Lord's Prayer. We don't talk about this too much. And forgive us our debts, our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who sinned against us. Right? It's easy to read, but I want to suggest to you it's one of the hardest things to do. Isn't that true? I wish I could tell you I pass that test all the time. I don't. And the only way I could pass that test is with God's help. and with the help of the Holy Spirit. The reason why I'm picking on this verse today is because we're going to talk about, in this whole concept of beware false teachings and how can I pray for you, which is the question we asked last week. I really believe that the American church, excuse me, needs a season, if you will, of repentance and confession. The American church, in my opinion, and I don't mean to insult anybody here, but I have to call it as I see it. The American church has become very complacent these days, especially when it comes to matters of forgiveness and forgiving others. Now listen, I know there's sometimes where things happen and they hurt very deeply, and that forgiveness has to take place over time and process. I understand that. My fear is that we never submit to God in the process, that we never get to the point where we can forgive somebody for deeply hurting us. Does that make sense? All right? There's a difference between partial forgiveness and biblical forgiveness. We seem to be okay with partial forgiveness. Partial forgiveness is a human thing, if I can put it that way. And it's one of those things, most commonly seen in a relationship or in a marriage. Yeah, okay, I forgive you, but you do this again, I'm going to get you. Or if you do it 10 years down the road, boy, that bag of stuff comes out from 10 years ago, and it comes back at you again, right? That's not biblical forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness is when God can bring us to the point of when we recall the offense that we truly no longer require repayment or retribution. That's biblical forgiveness. That's what happened on the cross. Because when we come to Christ and Jesus looks at us, he doesn't demand, God doesn't demand revenge or repayment, because Jesus paid it all, right? Once and for all. That's biblical forgiveness. Now listen, there's another myth that to forgive is to forget. No. No, you can't forget. But here's the key. When you remember, God brings you to the point where you don't demand any more retribution. That's forgiveness. And I'm using that as a gauge today, because when you pray for me, and when I pray for you, I pray for all of us that we can get to that point. There's probably no one here who hasn't been hurt deeply at some point. And we need to get to, that's part of discipleship, that's part of maturity, that's part of growing in Christ, it's part of growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. We can give a lip service a lot, but listen, these things are real, and these things hit us where we live. And so Paul's addressing false teachers here in Colossians. Emily, bring me to Colossians now. Thanks. I'm bringing you in on the prayer that Paul is praying for the Colossians. You can go back, starting in the middle of this chapter 1, and see how Paul prays for the Colossians. And I want to submit to you that if God brings to mind to pray for me, this is what I'd like to be prayed for, okay? This is how you can pray for me, because this is how I pray for you, all right? Let me go back to verse 9. You don't have to go there, Emily, but I'll go back to verse 9. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, Colossians. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way." Wow. Would you please pray that for me? Because I would love to live a life pleasing to the Lord. How about you? And it's a process, isn't it? And we need the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to continue on here. It says, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And we come here now to the second part of this. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have what? Great endurance and patience. Does anybody need those two things? Let me unpack this with you. Strengthened with all power, not my power, his power, through the Holy Spirit, to his glorious might, that's the power that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit, so that we may have great endurance. The word that's used there means when circumstances come up that, for lack of a better word, pressure us. Okay? So these are circumstances usually beyond our control. And, you know, we feel the stress of them. We say, oh, what are we going to do? No, this is the ability now to stand up under those circumstances and still live life in a way that glorifies God rather than caving in. And patience. You know what patience means? Patience means the ability to be patient with people. Endurance is circumstances. Patience is with people. All right? Is there anybody here that doesn't need it? When you pray for me, would you please pray for that? I'll confess to you, there's sometimes I like to tell people what to do. Leave me alone. I heard this all before. And it's sometimes in circumstances I just want to say, I'm done. I'm done. So I wish I can tell you I get an A+ in this. I don't. I know you don't either. But we need this, the help of the Holy Spirit. I want to submit to you, this is what real discipleship prepares us for. This is what, when I say real discipleship, I'm not talking about filling your head with knowledge. I'm talking about knowing the truth and then having the understanding and the wisdom to ask God to help me apply it to where I am right now. And then you know what follows? Spiritual maturity. And it's a process. Let me give you a clue. We never arrive here, this side of the cross. That will happen when God takes us home. So no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been a believer, no matter whether you have read the Bible and memorized it, it's a process, and it's a slow process sometimes, right? Listen, we need to have the right attitude when we go into discipleship with God. One of the things is that we need to be willing to yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And this is where the sin nature can still battle, because we get into this thing, who's going to tell me what to do? Well, the Bible says immorality is wrong. You have no right to say that. It's my body. Right? How many times you hear that? Right? Marriage is ordained by God. It's antiquated. And no, it's not. Right? I mean, I can go on and on. But the foundation of real discipleship is to recognize and stand against false teachings. And also, it is necessary for living for Christ in every area of our lives, if necessary, Living for Christ in a hostile culture. We talked a little bit about this morning. Is there anybody here who would argue that our culture is not hostile to Christianity? You can. I mean, my personal belief is that it is. The question is, how do we live in it and glorify God? That's why I need your prayer, and that's why you need my prayer. Because that's a process of real discipleship. Listen, back in verse 10, the prayer was for bearing fruit in every good work. We bear fruit only by yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about fruit that lasts. When we are led by the Spirit, we'll glorify God in everything we do. In our family, personally, in school, in work, professionally, in our neighborhood. When we choose to yield to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we will bear good fruit. Is it possible for a tree to bear bad fruit? How can you make a tree bear bad fruit? You feed it the wrong stuff. Or you don't feed it at all. Right? You feed it the wrong stuff, or you don't feed it at all. Listen, there's too many times in our culture, and unfortunately in some churches, you're getting fed the wrong stuff. And when professing Christians stay away from church and discipleship and Bible study, then you're being starved. And you don't even know it. And we bear bad fruit. We're called to be in a relationship in a growing knowledge of God. And that's not just head knowledge. As we learn to yield to the Spirit, we learn to trust God in deeper ways. In the process, God reveals to us through His Word the Spirit and more holiness and character. We also learn more about our own strengths and weaknesses. Does anybody here have strengths? Yeah, you all do. Anybody have weaknesses? Okay. And listen, we need help with both. I'm going to give you something to think about. This may be foreign to you, but it's true. This came out in the research I did for my doctorate. Most people never fail from their weaknesses. Most people fail from their strengths. You know why? Because of pride. So we need help with both, don't we? We need help with both. Listen to verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we may have endurance and patience. Why is it important for us to have godly endurance and godly patience? Why do you think that's important? Is it? Why? Well, we'll drop out without them. Seriously, that's why people stop coming to church. That's why people get so caught up in circumstances, they forget.
A lot of times I create strength to do something, to get into to do something, and then I know, I thank God at the end of the day, I say, thank you that you brought me through, and everything that another time.
Yeah, but this is even more than physical strength. This is strength that comes from the Spirit to keep on going God's way. Keep on going God's way. And it means a lot. Let me look at verse 12 with you. I also want to suggest that as we pray for us and our discipleship with God, as we pray for one another, it ought to produce in us a heart that is thankful. A thankful heart. We just sang about that, right? Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Consider it all joy, brethren, James says, when you come upon trials. Not if, when you come upon. Well, gee, now you're asking a lot. No, that's what the Word says. It's not just James that says it. That's what the Word says, because in those trials, If we go through it in obedience to God, if we go through it in the right way with our head saying and our heart saying, Lord, I'm going to obey you no matter what happens, then those trials produce perseverance, endurance, character. Wow. And we can give thanks. Joyful thanks. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Is there any difference? All right. Happiness is circumstantial. I'm happy my car started today. All right? I'm happy I didn't get a flat tire. I'm happy the water heater is not leaking. You know, that's happiness. Joy comes from a settled relationship between you and God from the heart. Well, Lord, I just got my pink slip today, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be at peace with you because you're in control. I mean, think about this. It's so foreign sometimes from the way we think, right? Because we do want to make God a Santa Claus sometimes. Yeah, give me what I want, God. You know, why did you do this? After all, I've been teaching Sunday school. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. So why, Lord, why are you picking on me? You almost get a Tevye complex, you know, from Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah. Now, the good thing about Tevye was he kept talking to God. That was the real good thing about Tevye. Sometimes we don't even talk to God. We get so angry at him. Give thanks. Joyful thanks. The words, the original words in the text are charis eucharistos, which is where we get grace and the Eucharist from, right? It means a thankful, graceful heart. Heartfelt thanks to God based on his love and holiness. Now listen, here's why. It is the Father who has qualified us to share in the kingdom and the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. It is the Father who sent the Son to die for our sin once and for all. It is Father who sent his Son to pay the penalty we can never repay. It is the Father who and the Son who loved us so much that the Son was willing to die for us on the cross. None of us are qualified for the kingdom of light or heaven unless we know the Son of God. So you see, the Father qualifies us through the Son to share in the inheritance of the holy people. Who's this holy people? Well, saints like you and me who have died. Now, Paul says in a different writing that No one can steal your inheritance. I had a friend who was promised by his mom that the will for her life would leave him with a substantial amount of money to go on life. And my friend had a bit of a, I can't even call it a handicap anymore, but he had a disability, okay? When his mom died, and his mom told me about the will, okay? When his mom died, the will was nowhere to be found. So he lost his inheritance. That can't happen with God. Our inheritance is guaranteed. And although we might go through suffering for a short time, on this earth, nobody's going to take away our inheritance. No one. He qualified us in the inheritance of holy people through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And look at this. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So before we came to know Christ, before Christ found us, if I could put it that way, it says he rescued us from the dominion of what? Say it like you're alive.
Darkness.
Darkness. What does that mean? The world. The world system. The world system. Yeah. You know, whether we like it or not, the world system is still supervised by somebody the Bible calls Satan. Right? And the world system is hostile to God. We see that. It is hostile to God. And he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We were under old management before we were saved. When we come to Christ, now we're under new management. His management. And he takes us from the kingdom of darkness. And we didn't even know we were in darkness, right? He takes us from the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of his son he loves, the kingdom of light, as the last verse calls it. And man, that should make us jump for joy. Why have we become so silent? And the last verse here, in him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I don't think we could understand the true nature of discipleship if we don't remind ourselves of the true gospel. Here's the true gospel. It's right here. For he rescued us. How many of you even knew you needed to be rescued? At some point you come to that, right? I need to be rescued. I come to the end of myself. I need to be rescued. And by grace, through faith in Christ, he rescues us. No one else could do that. Only God. No one else could prepare us for the kingdom of heaven. Only God through his Son. And no one else can guarantee our inheritance except God the Father. Listen, if you ever get to this point, maybe some of you had, if you have more than $200,000 in the bank, it becomes important to hear those words. Your money's guaranteed by the FDIC, right? It's guaranteed. Even if they wipe the account out, you're going to get the money back. Well, God guarantees our inheritance, and he doesn't need anything to do it but his own character, his own power, and his own promises. No one could take it away. So I want to ask the question of the day. If you want to recognize and deal with false teachers effectively, then you need, and I need, to know the real truth. In other words, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Theologians call that apologetics. We need to know what we believe, why we believe it. Why do you believe Jesus died for your sin? Because my mother taught me that. That's great. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Right? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Well, Jesus is fully God, fully man. Okay. That's great. That's sound doctrine. Why do you believe it? Okay. Okay. And that's where we have to go, right? But when I hear answers like, well, that's what I've always been taught. Well, no, you can have been taught the wrong thing. All right? So this becomes very crucial. We all must avail ourselves to studying the scriptures, prayer, worship, fellowship, and the application of the word in all aspects of our life. This is biblical discipleship. It takes commitment. We don't like that word. It takes commitment. It takes some hard work. We don't like that word either. I often think of Maynard G. Krebs on Dobie Gillis. Work, right? It takes some hard work. It also demands a lot of self-examination. honest self-examination under the direction of the Word and the Spirit, and faith to apply what we learn in all areas of our lives. So, I want to give you an exercise to do. Think about this through the week. You want to write it down, write it down. I urge you, if you write it down, destroy it at some point, because it's not meant for anybody else's eyes. Here's what I'd like you to do. Very simple. Examine all the areas of your life. Is there any area of your life you're shutting God out of? And why? We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But if you've never thought about that, you really need to start to think about it. Because in our culture, in our day and age, and in our churches, we tend to pick and choose what we like in the scriptures and ignore what we don't like. So it's very simple. Ask the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to examine your life. Lord, show me if there's any area, and you got to be brutally honest here. Show me if there's any area in my life I shut you out of. And then we'll talk about what to do with that. Amen? Amen. So, thank you for your patience today. My voice is waning a little bit. Just to remind you, men's group will be meeting here on Tuesday night. Opportunity for discipleship. Prayer meeting, opportunity for discipleship. Singing, opportunity for discipleship. And Sunday school, an opportunity for discipleship. Take advantage of it. There aren't many churches in the area that will tell you the truth. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. Oh, I forgot. Isn't that great? I forgot. So, can I have the ushers come up? And we'll do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So we'll wait upon you now for tithes and offerings, and then we'll close. Go ahead. You got it. Sorry about that. resurrection power, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside everyone's heart who has received Christ. Let's pray. Father, would you release us in the power of your Spirit? Help us, Father, to take an examination of our lives under your direction, and help us, Father, to live lives worthy of your kingdom. Empower us, Holy Spirit, as we go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.